Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on essential oils when we come back. You know, in real estate transactions, we follow three rules. It's called location, location, and location. Well, in criminal law, we follow three rules also when talking to the police or government agents, and that is, don't say anything, keep your mouth shut, and then shut up. Knowing what to say and when to say it, and what not to say, and who not to say that to, is summed up in this maxim of law. It says all of the evidence that's ever going to be used against you is going to be furnished by you. And that's why judges, in their opinions, make these kinds of short, terse statements. Now listen to this first judge. He said, "Who would believe the ironic truth that the cooperative taxpayer fares much worse than the individual who relies upon his constitutional rights?" Now he said that in U.S. versus Dickerson. Now, you know, if I said something like that, I'd be accused of being a tax protester. Now, listen to the second judge. Here's what he said. He said, "You can and you must keep your mouth shut for protection under the Fifth Amendment." And he said that in Belknap versus United States. Now, if I said something like that, you know, people would accuse me of obstructing justice. Now, listen to this third judge. He said, "The constitutional privilege was intended to shield the guilty and the imprudent, as well as the innocent and the farsighted." And he said that in Marchetti versus United States. Now, if you'd like more information about this thing called courtroom strategy and procedure, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package while you're at it, would you? Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and it's free of charge. That number again, 417-273-4967. Now, Courtroom Strategy and Procedure is a school that we teach on compact disc for adult homes education. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email. Send me an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we're talking about this thing called healing oils of the Bible. It's kind of a wild topic. Most people, when you talk about healing or health, you know, they want to go to the hospital, the doctor, Marcus Welby, MD, and Mercy Medical Center. And they want antibiotics. You know, they got to have some real medicine. You know, they don't want this phony baloney religious crap. They want real medicine. And a fellow by the name of David Stewart wrote a book here called The Healing Oils of the Bible. I've been reviewing that book. This is the seventh part in a seven-part series on that book. This will be the last one, and I'm up to chapter 13. And I'm just jumping around in the book. I mean, there's tons more that I haven't had a chance to cover. Every chapter in the book is riveting. Well, if you're interested in learning something new, it's riveting. You know, if you're a dullard, you know, change channels and go listen to acid rock or something. But this guy has written probably the most unique book that I've ever read. Now, there's books on politics and economics and you know, philosophies and religion. There's all kinds of books out there. This isn't a religious book. It's a science book. And he wrote two science books. And the first one I'm going to tell you about is called The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple. The Chemistry of Essential Oils. And these are the essential oils of the Bible. There's 33 of them. Healing Oils of the Bible by David Stewart. And there's more than 33. I told you that in the last program, my daughter's got a kit upstairs, and it's 12 by 12, so I know there's 144. And he pointed out that there is oil in every plant. It can be in the roots, leaves, fruit, or bark. And there's a way to distill those oils out. Now, in chapter 13, he talks about oils that heal versus the oils that don't heal. You know, there's oils that are healing oils, and there are oils that are just oils. And these healing oils can be delineated and understood. And then he wrote a second book. Not only did he tell you what these oils are, but then he went into the chemistry of these essential oils to tell you scientifically why these oils heal, why these oils are medicine. Now, it's been locked up in the Bible, written in biblical code for thousands of years, been available, you know, but we didn't know how to code plead it out. I never thought to code plead it out. This guy did. Now, I don't know if he knew about code pleading or not, but that's precisely what he did. He went to every place in the Bible where the word oil was mentioned, and he code pled that out. This guy's understanding of these oils is phenomenal. Mine isn't. I haven't looked into it, never studied it, but I'm going to. I'm going to, and that's why I thought I'd share this with you. Now, in order for pure essential oils to be of any therapeutic grade, they must be derived from organically grown or wildcrafted plants, and they must be steam distilled at atmospheric pressures and minimum temperatures in vessels that are non-reactive, and they must be bottled in dark or opaque non-reactive containers with no adulteration, dilution, refinement, or tampering with the oils in any way as they come from the still. Exceptions to this include certain oils that are not steam distilled but are pressed, such as those from the rinds of certain fruits. Now, in biblical times, the vessels of distillation were of stone or fired pottery. In modern times, the best non-reactive material is stainless steel. Copper is sometimes used, and copper was available in biblical times. But copper can contaminate the oil with a heavy metal. In biblical times, oils were stored in fired pottery jars or boxes carved from alabaster. In modern times, the best non-reactive containers are of dark glass with Teflon or non-reactive, airtight plastic tops. In biblical times, the necessary airtight seals were achieved by waxes that were poured over the oils in their containers. These hard wax covers had to be broken to gain access to the liquid oil inside the container. Now, the reason for the dark glass is a protection from light that causes oils to polymerize, increasing the size of their molecules and thus destroying their capability to penetrate human tissue and to bring about healing. Polymerized oils lose their fragrance, their molecules having become too large to evaporate and enter the nose. The necessity of the airtight seals on oil containers is twofold. When these oils are exposed to the air, the most volatile components of the oils readily escape. This reduces the medicinal value of the oil inasmuch as the lightest ingredients often contain the greatest capability to heal. Oils must also be protected from exposure to the atmosphere to prevent oxidation, which chemically alters the nature of the oil. Oxidized oils lose their therapeutic qualities and their fragrances are also changed, thus destroying their value as perfumes. Unless an essential oil has met all of the above criteria for production and storage, it is not of therapeutic value or grade and is not therefore a healing oil. Now that's chapter 13, oils that heal and oils that do not heal. So when plants are grown commercially with pesticides, herbicides, and chemicals to save on agricultural costs, or when they are distilled at too high a temperature and pressure to cut processing time, increase profits, and reduce production costs, or when they are extracted with chemical solvents to squeeze more product from the plant than the plant naturally has, then the result is an oil with compromised life force or perhaps no life force at all. Now, for such oils, most of the chemical components of the original God-created oil may still be present, which leads pharmaceutically minded scientists to conclude that these oils produced by modern means are essentially the same as oils produced by the more expensive and painstaking methods that emulate the ancient traditions. But what these pharmacists fail to appreciate is that the most important constituents of a healing oil are often only present in trace amounts that cannot be measured by even the best of laboratory equipment, and yet their presence, like the traces of enzymes necessary to maintain the functions of our bodies, is very crucial to the ability of this oil to function therapeutically. Furthermore, properly extracted essential oils have the highest known electromagnetic frequencies of any known substances, ranging from 52 to 320 megahertz. Besides their chemical benefits, essential oils also heal by raising our body electromagnetic frequencies. Tampering with God's natural oils reduces their frequencies, such that they are no longer able to elevate our human frequencies and thus are no longer able to heal in that way. Furthermore, when synthetic compounds are added to restore some of the fragrance components lost in the high-pressure distillation, or when these oils are refined, for example, certain constituents are removed to manipulate the oil into a particular formula to fit a perfume standard, to meet a flavor grade, or to make up a deficiency created by improper production techniques, or when these oils are diluted to increase the volume and therefore increase the profit to the distributor. Their therapeutic value is reduced or, in most cases, totally removed altogether. In fact, such manipulation poisons the oil, lowers its electromagnetic frequency, and kills its life force. Dead oils cannot heal. God, that reminds me of Mahatma Gandhi. Dead frogs don't dance. Dead oils don't heal. They may still have a fragrance or flavor to satisfy the perfumer and the food makers and the pharmaceuticals, but they're not therapeutic grade oils. And there is great fraud in the oil industry. When oils are grown, distilled, and processed by the most economic and expeditious means as described above, it's not fraud when such oils are sold and used for flavorings and fragrances. In fact, it's because these industries demand the lowest prices and require certain gross chemical standards for their oils, and all of these methods of farming and processing have been developed, accepted, and used. But the demand for therapeutic-grade oils is minuscule by comparison, comprising less than 5% of the market. The shortcuts taken by the food and the fragrance industries in producing essential oils only become fraud when their products are sold as therapeutic, when in fact they're not. You should also see the section in this book on commercial Christian anointing oils on page 218. Because true healing oils are expensive to produce, the temptation to commit fraud is rampant in the industry, which is why you want to purchase oils from producers where you can identify the grower, the distiller, and the packager. Anywhere along this production chain, from growing soil to bottled oil, tampering can occur in increased profits or to increase profits. To make matters worse, there are no well-regulated labeling laws in the United States as there are in Europe. Now, here's what these labels really mean. You can find oils in retail stores whose labels say things like 100% pure, organic, and natural. They may even say therapeutic grade. Most of the time, this would be an outright lie, but a legal one, since no government agency has ever defined the term therapeutic, and no government agency as yet regulates the content of labels or labeling on essential oils in a way that would remedy these kinds of deceptions. Now, as for 100%, that quantitative term does not really mean 100%. In some cases, 100% can mean as little as 10% of the real stuff, while the rest may be a colorless, odorless petrochemical. And yet this is tolerated as okay in the retail trade. Now, I've mentioned this to you before. Let me give you an illustration. You go into the grocery store and you buy honey. And, of course, you housewives, you all want the light amber honey. You don't want that dark, black, gooey, you know, coal tar-looking honey. You want something that really looks like real honey. And you all you ladies know this. You all know what honey looks like. So you go in and you pick up a little squeeze bottle of Bayer Subi honey, or this little Indian girl Subi honey, now, don't you? All right. Now, the honey packagers, you know, the Kraft Foods and the ADMs and the Cargill, see, they go to the legislature. These people are very, very active in politics, and so they go to the legislature, and they say to the legislature, we need a law. And legislators are very, very receptive to lobbyists who have checkbooks that make campaign contributions to these lawmakers. Very, very receptive to those kind of people, like Jack Abramoff and others. And so the lobbyist goes in and he says, here's the proposed legislation that we would like enacted. And they did this in the honey industry, in the honey business. And here's what the legislation provides for. If the food manufacturer, that is Kraft or ADM or whoever's making this product, wants to make 100% pure honey, he can put in as much as 49% corn syrup. 49% corn syrup and 51% honey. He can call that 100% USDA approved honey. Now, I call that a fraud. I call it a lie. It's worse than that. As old Mark Twain said, it's a damn lie. It is not 100% pure Subi honey. It's an adulterated product. Pure and simple. Now, that kind of crap goes on in the food industry. Hell, it goes on in all kinds of industries every day. And after all, it's legal because the law provides for it. The lawmaker is the legislature, and the legislature makes those kind of laws. And they do it for the profit of the pharmaceutical industry or for the food processing industry or whatever industry, the auto industry, the oil industry. They just do that constantly, and they screw us, blue us, and tattoo us constantly. So this guy is warning us of that because it goes on now in this industry. Remember, these oils are manufactured. They're grown by farmers. And the farmers use chemical fertilizers. Now, this guy says, okay, if that's what you want to buy, buy it. But that's not the kind of product that he's recommending. And I think he's probably right. Now, I don't see myself, you know, as being a health food nut, you know, but I'm pretty knowledgeable about health foods, and I'm kind of concerned about what I eat and what I stick in my mouth. And so when we raise cattle here on our farm, we have at least 35 years of no chemical fertilizers or sprays used on this land. And we never vaccinate our cattle, And we're very careful to maintain a quality and purity of organic, a standard of organic here when we sell meat or milk or when we give it to our friends and students and guests, etc., that it's of the highest and purest quality. Now, I'll admit I can't control the air above my cows, which is constantly polluted with chemtrails, and then these poisons rain down on my cows. Now, that I can't control. But I can control these other inputs, and that's what this author, David Stewart, is suggesting that you want to do. You want to make sure that when you're buying these oils, that you buy it from a producer over here that's producing therapeutic oils and not just oil for the trade. And so he makes a good point, and I thought I'd illustrate that. Now, some of the dilutants used in essential oils are odorless, colorless petrochemicals, which are cheap. However, such compounds can be harmful to your health when they're applied to your skin, or when they're taken internally, or when they're inhaled over long periods of time. The common availability of such adulterated oils has caused some aromatherapists who unsuspectingly and routinely use such products to conclude that it is not safe to use an essential oil directly without diluting it down to a 2 to 5% concentration in a neutral fatty base. If such aromatherapists would seek out a reliable source of truly pure, therapeutic-grade oils, they would find that applying essential oils neat is perfectly safe, with a few exceptions, and a far greater therapeutic value than using them diluted. Now, there's also another labeling phrase that you will see that can be very misleading. It's called aromatherapy grade. This is actually a term of British origin and is okay and understood in that country. In Great Britain, the practice of aromatherapy is principally the practice of massage with oils. Hence, an aromatherapy grade oil is one that is 95 to 98% massage oil, such as grapeseed, jojoba, almond or some other fatty oil, and only 2 to 5% essential oil, which can be food or fragrance grade, and still fulfill the English requirements. The phrase is clearly understood in England to mean diluted, but misunderstood in America to mean pure or therapeutic essential oil. It's a matter of differentiating between American English and British English. When understood, an oil labeled as aromatherapy grade can be recognized as an adulterated, diluted oil by definition and probably unfit for therapeutic use. So the oil is fine if you're going to use it for massage oil. But if you're going to use it for healing cancer, muscular dystrophy, or some of these other copyrighted, trademarked ailments over here, well, then you've got to have the real deal. So let me caution you. There's oil, and then there's oil. And then there's therapeutic oil. Now, British aromatherapists generally never apply essential oils, neat, to the skin for fear of toxic reactions. In fact, most British users of essential oils are horrified at the thought of applying a pure essential oil to the body, and they disbelieve that Esther of the Bible, in Esther 2 verse 12, really rubbed pure oil of myrrh over her body for 6 months in preparation for her marriage to the king. They don't believe that. Well, then obviously God lied. And that's pretty normal. Most people believe, when they read the Bible, they believe God lied to them. Or is lying to them. Kind of like Eve in the garden, remember? Satan came up to her in the form of a snake, and he said, has God said that you shall not eat off that tree? And she said, yeah, that's true. And he said, God knows that that's a lie. And God is lying to you. Because in the day that you eat off that tree, you're going to get real smart real fast. And Eve said to herself, well, obviously God's lying. So she ate off that tree, and she didn't die, which proved that God was a liar. She knew God was a liar as soon as she ate off that tree and didn't die. Let me ask you this, kids. Is Eve alive today? So I think that when God told her that she was going to die if she ate off that tree. I think he told her the truth. She misconstrued what he meant. He didn't mean that she was going to die that day. He just said, you're going to die. And that's the distinction here between this term pure, aromatherapy, in Britain or the United States. You know, what it means over there in England is something different than it means over here. But when you read the label in England, they're telling you the truth. But they have a different understanding of what that means than we have here in the United States. So tuck that one away in your heart, Jonah. This fear, particularly to the English and to those who study under them or read their writing, is because most British essential oils are byproducts of the food and fragrance industry, which are not therapeutic. They are diluted oils that are not therapeutic. Such oils probably are toxic if used, and used in minute amounts in food and perfumes and diluted for massage, there are usually no serious toxic reactions. British aromatherapists do not report the healings that are common where therapeutic grade oils are used, as in the United States, France, and elsewhere. Now, the labels of some American oils say pure USP grade oil, while in Great Britain, some say pure BP grade. USP, when you see that on the label, means United States Pharmacopoeia. BP means British Pharmacopoeia. In both instances, this is in reference to a set of standards for essential oils set by the food and fragrance industries. These standards are set so that successive batches of oil will all be the same, or as nearly identical as can be made possible. In order to get lavender oil, for example, to always have the same proportions of its major constituents, the oil producer must refine it or denature it to remove excessive or unwanted compounds or add synthetic compounds to bring the proportions up to standard. In other words, a USP or BP grade oil is by definition an altered and it's an adulterated oil and it is not therapeutic. Such oils are intended for foods and perfumes. They are not intended for healing. So now if you want to buy an oil and you want to rub it on your skin as a massage oil, or if you want to use this oil, you know, to pour into the crankcase of your automobile or into the transmission or something like that, well, then get after it. But they don't have any healing properties and they're not for that. So if you rub it on and you die from cancer, well, then that's what you get because, you know, it's like rubbing on Pennzoil 30. It's not designed to heal. So then when is natural? Natural. Another subterfuge to fool the trusting oil shopper is the word natural. Any compound that can be produced synthetically by a laboratory that is also found in nature can be legally labeled and sold as natural, even though the process by which it was produced was totally unnatural and the raw products from which it was manufactured may have been petroleum, coal, or natural gas. Now, again, that's done by your legislatures. You know, the honey that has 1% corn syrup in it should not be labeled 100% pure Sous-B honey. It should be labeled, this is an adulterated honey product. Or at least it should be labeled, this is not a pure honey product. This is a manufactured product. This is an industrial grade honey. But they don't do that. And they sell that stuff to you as food, and you eat it, and you say, well, this is great stuff. This is really good. Now, those of us that are beekeepers and that are honey producers, I wouldn't waste my time eating that amber honey when I'm out on the road, you know, and I need honey to flavor my coffee. I use it, but here at home I use black honey. I use the dregs. I use the stuff that beekeepers feed to their bees. The stuff with all the vitamins and minerals in it. That's what I eat. But, of course, that doesn't sell in the grocery store because you housewives know better about what good honey is and bad honey. And so you buy this adulterated crap, you know, that has corn sugar in it. And it's clear. It's been filtered. I mean, this stuff is filtered through about 5 microns. I mean, if there ever was anything in there of nutritive value, when it goes through the filters, I can assure you, ladies, it isn't in there any longer. And then it's heated to about 160 degrees, like pasteurized milk. It's heated to 160. That honey flows like water. If you think honey is thick, oh, no, no, no. When that honey is heated, I mean, it runs like water. It runs right through the filters, and it comes out clear. I mean, hell, it practically comes out white. Sometimes it is so light, so white, they have to add food coloring to it to give you that amber color. Isn't that just special? Yeah, because they've taken anything of any nutritive value out of it. The honey that has real nutritive value is black. Black. And it has a real strong taste to it. And the real strong taste is the vitamins and the minerals in it. It's not just sugar. It's full of sugar, but it's not just sugar. It's full of nutrients. It's full of enzymes. It's full of real food, which you don't get from commercial honey, and which you do not get from this commercial oil either. Hey, we're at the halfway point. I got to remind you here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives and can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs, by the way, are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And there are over 2,000 of these programs. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, news, and current events 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Just ask for it. It's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give out don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend will reciprocate. Most of the authors and publications cited on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review, or at least not totally endorsed by us. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, the staff, or network, or this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are talking about essential oils. Let me give you a name and number here for the author. 2 books that I hardly recommend. It'll cost you about $100 bill, but they're worth $500 or $5,000. I mean, if you've got cancer, heart disease, muscular dystrophy, if you've got any kind of disease, I don't care what it is. These books are the opposite to the drug and pharmaceutical industry. Now, if you're satisfied with Merck and Pfizer and the allopathic medical doctor, you don't need this book. If you're not satisfied with the allopathic medicine and you're not satisfied and you don't really care too much about pharmaceuticals and Pfizer and Merck and Wyeth and all the rest of them, then this is the book for you. It's called Healing Oils of the Bible by David Stewart, and you can get a copy by calling this number, 1-800-758-8629. Put that down in your notes. That's 1-800, toll free, 1-800-758-8629. Or you can send an email to care, C-A-R-E, it's easy, C-A-R-E, at raindroptraining.com. Care at raindroptraining.com. Price is $26 and includes shipping and handling. Yeah, it's about 250 pages. Let me look back here. No, it's better than that. It's 325 pages. And this guy puts out a ton of books and videotapes. He puts on seminars. Here's seminars with Dr. Stewart. Here's Healing Oils of the Bible video, The Chemistry of Essential Oils, A Statistical Validation of Raindrop Technique, book seminars and videos available through CARE. I mean, there's just a bunch of stuff. And he's got a seminar coming up in Branson, Missouri. In November. And so why don't you ask him about that? And there's an airport close by. It's called the Springfield Branson Regional Airport. You can fly in from all over the country. I mean, you can come in here from California, anywhere you happen to be, to the Springfield Branson Regional Airport, rent a car and drive down to Branson. And you ought to get the name and address and the dates and the time and the price and all that good stuff from Dr. Stewart himself. I'm going to be there. And so if you're there, look me up. I'm going to be there probably about the middle of the audience. See, I don't sit in the front because that's too ostentatious, and I don't sit in the back because I can't hear everything. So I'm just going to kind of blend in right in the middle. I'm just going to kind of sit right in the middle where nobody will recognize me. And I'm going to be there at that seminar so that I can hear what's going on. This guy's really got something intelligent to say, and I want to hear it. So he's talking about oils that heal and oils that don't heal. And I thought this would be a very important lesson for us to learn. Not everything that you buy is worth buying. So you got to be careful about what you buy. And oftentimes I review books and stories and one thing and another, and I can't tell you everything. I can't give you all the caveats and tell you, geez, don't do that and don't do something else. I heard a little story the other day. My wife said, hey, listen, Gordon, you did a series of programs over here the other day on cancer. And in the process, you were talking about Essiac, which is one of the 10 cures to cancer. And you told all these people out here that they need to take bloodroot with the Essiac. And I didn't say that at all. And I told her, I said, I didn't tell anybody that. I didn't say that. I don't believe that. I don't think it's true. I said the bloodroot isn't in the Essiac. The original Essiac formula had bloodroot in it. Now, you got to remember that the Essiac is the cleanse, and the bloodroot is the killer. So the bloodroot you take first, and there's a way to take this stuff, and you need to have a little more information than I can give you on the air. Furthermore, I can't even give you all the information on the air because it's illegal. That's right. See, I can't come on the air and say, hey, this Essiac cures cancer. That cancer is a copyrighted trademark. Belongs to another company called the AMA. And just like Coca-Cola, you know, I can't come on the air and say, listen, let me give you the Coca-Cola formula and I'll go out and make this stuff. That's against the law. So when I review a book or when I give you information, boys and girls, you need to buy the book. Damn it, go buy the book. And then you can get all of the information that you need. Now, there's a lot of sources of information out there about Essiac and about bloodroot and how to take it and how to use it and how to cure cancer with it. But, you know, I can't tell you all that over the air. This is why I like this guy's conclusion. He says, you know, use it intelligently. Come on, kids. Let's use our heads. Let's be intelligent. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Now, this guy's got a hell of a story to tell. And in this chapter 13, he says, you know, you got healing oils. Some of them heal and some of them don't. And here's the way to tell it. So I'm gonna give you a little of this, because see, this isn't copyrighted information, and each one of these copyrighted oils are trademarked oils. I identified them. Hold it! Don't you do that one? That one's trademarked. You know? That's so that this guy doesn't sue me and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, you're out here giving my formula away to all these people and blah blah blah. You know, same thing here with cancer. You know, cancer has a cure, and the allopathic medical doctors have a cure. It's called chemotherapy. I said that on the air. I said chemotherapy kills cancer. The tragedy of it is it kills 63% of the patients that use it also. 37% survive, 63% die. Okay, so if that's what you want, get out and buy it. Now, this product over here cures and doesn't kill. This stuff doesn't have side effects. Now, most of you listening to this, you don't want to hear this anyway, because you're prejudiced against the Bible and you're prejudiced against God, and you believe in evolution and you believe in allopathic medicine and science. Terrific. I'm not opposed to that. Get after it. Some of us don't believe that, and I'm one of them. And so when I saw this guy's book, I said, well, let me review it. And then after I got into it, I said, wow, this guy's really got his head on straight. Now, he's got another subheading over here. It says, chemistry isn't everything. It says, furthermore, the living element or electromagnetic frequency present in the natural oils of wintergreen and birch is absent in the synthetically produced version. Thus, all pertinent factors are not considered by chemists in synthesizing an oil. Electromagnetic frequency is another factor they cannot duplicate. It's a chemical analysis, or a chemical analysis, however meticulous, is not sufficient to adequately describe a therapeutic grade oil. There is electricity and life force in that oil. It reminds me of aspirin. Now, aspirin is a natural product. I can use that word aspirin because aspirin is white willow bark. And it's a natural occurring product. And if you go to a white willow tree and you peel the bark, and on the inside between the wood and the bark is this thin thingy. I don't know what you call it, but there's a thin thingy, and you scrape that off of there, and you dry it out, and you powder it up, and you got this thing called aspirin. Now, that's a long, hard, laborious process to get that out, and there's not much of it. And it costs a lot of money. So some guy comes along and he says, well, what is the chemical compound of this stuff called aspirin? And so they make it out of coal tar. And then they sell it in bottles and they call it aspirin, and it makes a lot of money. I was talking to a lady yesterday, and I'm going to give you a little illustration. There's a product here called stevia. And I'm not advertising stevia. I'm not here to sell you stevia. But she gave me a little bottle of it, and she says, this is a natural organic product called stevia, and it costs so much money. I forgot how much it was. It's $52 for 700 and some odd packets in this box, however that works out. Anyway, it was $52 for this box of stevia, and my boy has epilepsy, and so he can't eat sugar and honey. He's on a pretty restrictive diet, but he can eat the stevia stuff, see, because it's natural. And so this lady sells the stuff to us, sells it to my boy Dirk, and here it is. And she said, you can buy the same amount of Sweet and Low. That's another copyrighted brand trademark. You can buy the same amount for $12. So it's pretty obvious that this stuff here cannot compete economically. Can't compete with artificial sugar. But you see, that artificial sugar, and I've done a number of programs on it, that artificial Sweet and Low stuff is a toxic poison. It's a chemical compound, and it kills people. And this stuff doesn't. And that's where you're at with aspirin. So you take this aspirin, and remember, they tell you it makes your stomach bleed, and it's got these side effects. Remember this druggist I had in here the other day? He said, hell, even Tylenol and aspirin is toxic, and it potentially could kill you. Well, not the white willow bark. The white willow bark is a natural organic compound created by God himself with no toxic side effects. So the pharmaceutical companies come along and say, well, what are the chemical properties of this white willow bark? They synthesize it out of coal tar, they make it by the tons, and they sell it to you people, and it gives you side effects, and it kills you, and it harms you, and it's bad stuff. All right, so tuck it away in your hearts. Bad stuff. But not the stuff that God made. The stuff that God made was white willow bark, and it takes time, effort, and energy, and costs more money. Now, if you want the cheap stuff, then go buy it. But it's no good. The cheap stuff is worthless. That's the bottom line. And that's what this guy is telling you. So I wanted to make sure that I didn't make this mistake again and have you people mixing the bloodroot with the Essiac and taking it all together. Kids, you know, use your head and be intelligent. Get the facts before you do that. If you got cancer, you need a little help. If you're a layperson, you got cancer, you need a little help. Go to the health food store and pick up some books on cancer. Go home and read them. That's what my wife did. She went to the allopathic doctor, and he said, for $100,000, we can keep you alive for about 18 months. She said, hell, for 18 months, I'll keep the $100,000 and leave it to my family. Now, of course, most of you have good health insurance. Well, if you got health insurance, you can die in style. I had a friend of mine, he was chewing Copenhagen, and he had cancer. And I said to him, why are you chewing that Copenhagen? You know, that Copenhagen's got nicotine, you got cancer. And he said, well, because it fights pyorrhea and tooth decay. He said, you know, I've been chewing Skoal or Copenhagen since I was 18 years old, and I don't have any cavities, and I don't have any pyorrhea. And I said, well, partner, you are going to die from cancer with perfect teeth. And he did. He died of cancer with perfect teeth. And I'm sad. I'm sad that my friend died with perfect teeth. Now, since the healing oils of wintergreen and birch are chemically more than 85% methyl silicylate, there are some places, such as in England, where pure synthetic methyl silicylate is sold and labeled as if it were natural wintergreen. Now, a chemist with all of his or her equipment may not be able to determine the difference between the natural and the laboratory-produced products, but the discerning powers of the human body can tell the two apart instantly, and it reacts accordingly. And this is called muscle testing. I don't think I've ever done a program on muscle testing. I got a book here on that subject. But you have an electrical aura around your body, and when that electrical aura is interfered with, it weakens you. And you can take a person, hold his hand out over here, and you can push on it, and he can hold his arm up, and you can see how much force it takes to push his arm now. And you can put a natural substance in his hand, and you can push on his arm, and it won't go down. But if you put a synthetic product in there, you just instantly become powerless. And that's because it interrupts the electrical aura, and when you do that, it makes you weak. Your body is a pretty neat product. In fact, David didn't say, fearfully and wonderfully made is your body, or are we, for no good purpose. You know, that was a true statement. Your body is a pretty complex machine, and it's a pretty neat product. When God designed it, he said it's good. He put his own stamp of approval on it. God says that when he says something's good, that's better than a UL Underwriters Laboratory seal of approval. Do you know that? Most people don't believe that, and they prefer UL Underwriters. But when God says he made it and it was good, that's his seal of approval. Now, this synthetically produced methyl silicate is toxic, and while its naturally grown cousin is not. In addition to being non-toxic, the natural product also has curative powers, while its artificial counterpart does not. Now, boys and girls, the average guy goes in, buys some aspirin, he pops aspirin, he says, I don't think there's any difference between this chemical aspirin or this white willow bark, but I'm here to tell you there is. Now, I'm a reporter. I came here to tell you that there's a big difference. Now, I told you. Now, if you want to go buy aspirin, the chemical stuff, instead of white willow bark, I don't care. You're not going to offend me. if you want to go buy these products out here. And then don't call me and say, well, I tried it and it don't work. No, that's right. Yeah. And most of this crap out there doesn't work. And you people that are out here eating that sous vide honey, you know, you might as well be eating cow urine, which a lot of you ladies do in the form. No, it isn't cow urine. It's horse urine. It's in the form of, some chemical pharmaceutical compound that you ladies buy. It's estrogen, I think it is. Horse urine, for crying out loud. That reminds me of the Egyptians, but you know, or about these pagans in Africa, you know, they wrap their hair in cow dung. Oh, that's over in India. Yeah, these guys over in India, these gurus, you know, they wrap cow manure in their hair. They drink cow urine, and they call that medicine. And the pharmaceutical industry takes urine out of horses, and then they synthesize it down, manufacture it into estrogen, and they feed it to you ladies here in the drugstores, and you buy that kind of crap, and you call that science. Yeah, that's the modern science today. It's the same witch doctor crap that they've been using in pagan countries for thousands of years. We call it pharmaceuticals today. I call it witch doctor. Now, the cleverness of counterfeiting chemists. You know, he goes on to say, you know, these counterfeiting chemists are pretty clever guys. Now, because the profits are so high in selling this cheap to produce non-therapeutic oil, at costly to produce therapeutic prices, the temptation to do this has created many laboratories and teams of chemists who are very skillful in imitating the chemical composition of natural oils. You know what this author is telling us? He says, you know, there's a lot of counterfeits out there. There's a lot of crap on the market. So caveat emptor, you know, be careful about what you buy. Dr. Schultz said the same thing. I was reading one of Schultz's brochures here the other day. Now, Schultz, for you lay people that don't know the name, was a student of Dr. Christopher. And Dr. Christopher was probably, I don't know positively, but probably, the greatest herbalist and natural healer in the United States in modern times. Now, there may have been some better guys in the past, you know. I think that Jesus of Nazareth was pretty good. You know, when you're comparing Christopher to God himself, you know, well, Christopher probably takes second place. But, you know, in history, there have been some natural healers and herbalists and so on. And Christopher in modern times is probably one of them. Well, Schultz is one of his students. And Schultz is out in California. And he says that the herbs that come into this country and are sold as herbal preparations in your health food stores, the herbs that you're buying, kids, in your health food stores is crap that comes from India and China and is raised with chemical fertilizers and sprays, because a lot of the chemical fertilizers and sprays, they're so damn toxic that they've been banned in the United States, are being used in Mexico and South America and China and India and other places. And so they're growing the herbs on these chemicals in foreign countries, bringing them into the United States. And, of course, our legislatures pass the laws, and they call these pure, natural, 100%. And he says it's garbage. So he buys his herbs locally from people that he knows, that know that they're growing them organically, and that they aren't diluted, adulterated, and perverted. Now, that's Schultz. He says the same thing. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses should the matter be established. So says God. And so there's two witnesses that have told me the same thing. So that says to me, I need to be careful and cautious about what I buy and the source that I get it from. And so I'm passing that on to you. So don't just go down here to the health food store and start buying this oil, because I'm not sure that you're getting the right stuff. But I'm pretty sure that this David Stewart's got the right stuff. Now, let me give you his name and number again before we forget again. You know, before I get to the end of the program and say, oh my God, I forgot to tell you where to buy it. This guy's name is David Stewart. He wrote two books. I'm reviewing one of the two books, but I'm recommending that you buy both. That's what I did, and I'm an old man, and I've never seen anything like this. I rated these two books as one in 100 reads. That is, you're going to read 100 books before you find something like this. That's how good this is. And the first book here, called The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple. And that's the big big volume. That's the technical volume. That's the one that tells you the science behind this. And it's $50, and it comes from Care Publications. The second book is called Healing Oils of the Bible, and it's $26, and it comes postage prepaid. In other words, it includes the postage, and I would assume that $50 price probably does the same. But call the guy first. I want you to do that. The number is 1-800-758-8629. Okay, got that? That's 1-800-758-8629. Now, the email address is CARE, C-A-R-E, and it's called CARE Publications. So write to CARE at Raindrop, R-A-I-N-D-R-O-P, training, T-R-A-I-N-I-N-G, all one word, raindroptraining.com. CARE at raindroptraining.com. Two books. It'll cost you less than $100, and it'll be the best $100 that you've spent. Now, I spent my $100, and then I'm tickled to death with the two books. Never saw anything like it. One in 100 reads. The guy's name is David Stewart. Now, I read a lot of books, and we review a lot of books, and we review books on the air, and we grade the books as 1 in 20. That is, you'll read 20 books before you find one like this. And then 1 in 100. And this is one of those 1 in 100 reads. Now, there are oils that heal and oils that don't. And this guy is so meticulous. He's got a whole chapter in here that says, here's what you look out for. Here's what you're looking for. Here's what you want to watch out for. Don't buy crap. So I gave you a couple of my own personal experiences. I said, you know, you got honey and you got honey. And most of the honey that's being sold in the marketplace is crap. And then there's real honey. And then you can go out here and you can buy oils, and you can buy oils. And then most of the oils that are out there are crap. 95%, according to this guy. 95% of the oils that you're going to buy out there are just crap. They smell good, and they're real oil. But they are crap. Now, there's 5% out there that are not. And then he goes on to tell you, well, here's where you can buy this. Or here's, if you don't want to buy it from me, then buy it from somebody else. But make sure that you know where it comes from. Then I told you about Dr. Schultz and Dr. Christopher. They came to the same conclusion, that just because you're buying some herb doesn't mean that that herb is pure, or that that herb is organically grown. If you're going to use this for medicinal purposes, if you want the medicine of the Bible, you've got to follow the Bible instructions. And anything less than that is going to be unsatisfactory, and you're going to get unsatisfactory results. So once more, this is called The Healing Oils of the Bible, Dr. David Stewart. The number is 1-800-758-8629. Again, that's 1-800-758-8629. 8629, and be sure to ask him about his Branson seminar. Hey, we're running out of time. I got to give you a final reminder that you are listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. And if you'd like more information about the Law School or the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on our website. Remember, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.